In this presentation, we'll look at developing reports, filters, and dashboards. So let's start with the report element, which represents a report. And there are these 8 different report types available with Performance Point: the analytic chart and grid, Excel services, the KPI details that was recently added in this release, ProClarity analytics server page, reporting services, strategy map, and the web page. So let's start with analytic chart and grid. I put them together because they're closely related. The analytic chart represents data visualized using a bar chart, stacked bar chart, 100% stacked bar chart, line chart with markers, or pie chart. And the analytic grid represents a grid of members and measures. And the design choice determines the initial view that you see. However, a user can, via the report type menu option, convert a chart to a grid and vice versa. So these are perhaps the most important reports because they support a great deal of interactivity that we'll explore, but they're only available based off analysis services data sources. They are based on the ProClarity technology that Microsoft acquired some years back. So when we go to create these, we use the details pane to design the analytic report. We drag cube members, hierarchies, and name sets into the drop zones. For a chart, we have the series, bottom axes, and background. And then for the grid, we have rows, columns, and background. So just appreciate that the background is really hidden. We can filter at this point, but it's actually important that when we appreciate how the dashboard will be assembled, that it's often filter values will be passed into the hierarchies that we have already defined here in the background. Hierarchies can be filtered through explicit member selection or through dynamic selection. And we see here an example that we can auto-select members, and then we can say, let's select everything from this member and all descendants beneath it, or everything at a particular level of the hierarchy. We use the Edit Ribbon tab to go ahead and format fonts, background colors, and numeric format. We can specify the initial sort order. We can specify filters. We can modify report type, we can configure layouts and legends and report settings that determine the maximum characters for column and row labels, whether to show the information bar that provides filter context, and to show data source formatting. The end user experience presents a highly interactive toolbar and context menu support, the ability to drill down or up, or drill across to any related dimensions in their hierarchies, to introduce sorts and filters, to introduce other measures that may not have been included in the original design, to launch the decomposition tree to support further analysis, the modification between the report types from grid to the chart types and vice versa, to show details, which is Performance Point Services' version of drill through, or to launch cube cell actions if they're available. Moving on to the third type here, Excel Services allows us to configure a report that points to a site, document library, a workbook within that library, and then an item within that workbook. Appreciate that any parameters that have been defined in the Excel workbook are also available here, and that dashboard filters and scorecard values can be passed into the Excel services parameters. KPI details, very, very simple to configure. It's just a matter of checking which features, as you see here, you'd like to include in the report. And what it will take as its input is the scorecard cell context. So when a user clicks on a scorecard cell, we can pass that context into this report and provide a summarized detail of what that individual scorecard cell represents. Reporting Services renders a report from Reporting Services, whether it's in native or SharePoint integrated mode. We specify the report path, whether to show toolbars, the parameters pane, the document map, what zoom level, what rendering format, and again the report parameters can become endpoints into which dashboard filters and scorecard values can pass in. ProClarity Analytics server page renders a report from the ProClarity Analytics server. And if you have this server available to you, you can specify to create a report based off the URL to the server, the page, and there are some basic configuration options. The strategy map depicts relationships and dependencies between your objectives, goals, and KPIs. As a precursor to producing a solution with Performance Point, you may well have produced a strategy map in Visio. And it might look something like this, less the colors at this stage. So each shape here in the diagram represents objective or a key performance indicator. And so what you can do is produce a report that then maps to a scorecard's objectives and KPIs. And then when you visualize this within a dashboard, the indicator colors can be conveyed into the shapes to provide an up-to-date display of the status of the shapes within that strategy map. The last one we take a look at here is the web page, which simply retrieves a web page, and it provides the greatest flexibility to the developer. The web page can perform a redirect to another resource, it can produce any HTML response and include user interaction. The configuration requires only a valid URL, and the dashboard pages can receive filter and scorecard values. So this report type, when filter and scorecard values are passed to it within the dashboard, they are appended to the URL as part of the query string. So a developer simply needs to retrieve those, and then they can take some action or update the report in whatever way makes sense. Next, we come to developing filters. So filters are added to dashboards so that users can modify the view. They can relate to multiple dashboards, so we can define the filter once and save it, and multiple dashboards can reuse that filter definition. They're typically used to filter data, but they can also be used to pass values to scorecard and report axes. And there are these six filter types, built off a custom table, an MDX query, the explicit selection of members, a name set from an analysis services data source, and providing that your data sources have time properties configured, there are time intelligence and time intelligence connection formula. Having then defined the filter, it includes also how should it be displayed. Will it be a single selection list? If it's hierarchical, you can present a single selection tree or a multi-selection tree. And for the time intelligence connection formula, the user will be presented with a calendar control. So the custom table is based on tabular data sources only, for example, Excel, services, or SQL Server. Parent-child hierarchies can be produced using this type. The MDX query is based only on analysis services data sources, and any valid MDX that can produce a set can then produce a filter based on that set. Member selection can be based on any type, and membership is based on a static selection of members, and it has the benefit here that you can also define a default. A name set only works off name sets defined in analysis services cubes. And then we come to the two time intelligence filters. So the first one can be based on a data source that has its time properties configured, and we can use time formulas to create the time intelligence members. The example provided here on the slide says year.firstmonth colon month, which essentially says get the current year and its first month, and then give me a range until the current month. So this would be month year to date. The time intelligence connection formula can be based on data sources again that have their time properties configured. Unlike the other filters, this filter can only present a calendar control, and the selected date then is used to determine the current date for the time formulas. So I just mentioned that year.firstmonth means the current year's first month, but should a user interact with the time intelligence connection formula and choose a prior year's date, well then year will be based on that time period. So it's a way of time traveling across the time formulas. And now we come to developing dashboards. So the dashboard is a collection of pages that group related interactive scorecards and reports, and it's the only item that is deployed to SharePoint. Let me just make that clear. We do save all of the element definitions to SharePoint, but the deployment is a special process. It's not saving the definition, it's actually deploying and creating the dashboard folder and, for each page of the dashboard, web part pages. And your dashboards are assembled from filters, scorecards, and reports, and we define connections that allow values to flow between the different items. So dashboard pages consist of zones, and these zones can be configured by a unique name, a size, an orientation, so is its content horizontal, vertical, or stacked says that you could have multiple items in the zone, but you only ever see what's on top, and a drop-down list will allow the user to toggle between the different items within that zone. Filters, scorecards, and reports are added to the zones, and then connections and display conditions are configured between the items. And each page, when deployed, will produce a web part page in SharePoint. We see here the details pane in the dashboard designer that shows the resources, the scorecards, reports and filters available for assembling your dashboard. Connection fundamentals, so filters only ever send their values to scorecards and reports. Scorecards are able to receive values from filters and also pass them on to reports, and reports only ever receive values from filters and scorecards. They have different items and different values to send, and it's too much detail to talk about just now. This diagram here shows us the different items that can be sent to the different types of reports. When configuring these connections, we need to specify the from and to. So the first part of the connection window here says where is the value coming from, where is it going to. The second part of the connection configuration with the source value says what's being passed and what is it being passed to in the sent item. The connection formula down here, this button, allows you to intercept what's being passed and potentially transform through a formula. For example, if your filter is then prompting the user for what year, you could go ahead and pass to report the selected year and then say .prev_member. And that in MDX says let's go to the previous member on the hierarchy, and it's a way of intercepting the user selection and then passing into the target, in this case a report, the previous year. Dashboard deployment. So when deploying a dashboard, we specify the SharePoint library, a master page to use, and whether we include links for navigation between the dashboard pages. And each dashboard creates a folder within that specified library, and each page of the dashboard is a WebPart page within that folder. So the end user experience, users can navigate between the pages of the dashboard, they can select the filter values, they can interact with each scorecard and report. If they have permission, they can edit the web part, they can open in a new window should they need more room to explore or just to branch out with their analysis. They can reset to the original view, and they have the ability for both scorecards and reports to export to PowerPoint or Excel. So we finish off with some resources here. The Performance Point Services Product Team blog is a great resource in addition to the development scenarios and the discussion here, or rather the book, that talks about Performance Point services in much, much more detail. Thank you.